It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. Well, I'm chugging on down to Memphis. Cruising down to New Orleans.
Tonight it seems so long with the Cajun Queens. And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Now if we can just get Charlie to turn the music off where we can actually
hear ourselves. I know it. We'll get your butt to Ed's. Right. Yeah.
There we go. That's a little better.
Charlie's on a different page tonight.
Yeah, he was
can't work without down. Headphones.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and Dalton stole mine.
Uh-oh. Well, you know how it is with these youngsters.
Yep.
They beat us old codgers that, you know, they beat us to death, man.
This coming in after another show gets a little hey, hectic right
see,
before the show starts.
If you see an old codger in here, jump up and slap him.
I got him. You see him?
I think you're outnumbered, Kevin.
Yeah.
You see that old codger? I got him. I got him twice.
But anyway, I'm trying to get some things pulled up on the computer here while we're getting going.
Well, good luck with that.
Well, it takes a little while. I've been working on it since the other show stopped, so that's how it is. Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Well, if somebody'd feed that damn gerbil that's running the power unit to this computer, that sucker's walking. He ain't running, you know.
Yeah.
And he don't have enough juice to kick this old computer up in high gear.
Looks like I did get Atmore Dragways pulled up, who was another one of our fine sponsors. And
they're starting to get busy up there, aren't they?
They got some racing going on for sure. They had their Grudger's Cash Sunday yesterday. And looks like coming up on Friday the 12th, they have Friday Night Street Drags, Test and Tune. Gates open at 6, Hot Track at 7. On the 13th Saturday the 13th, they have Mobile Bay Racers Association Points Series, True Heads Up Racing, gates open at noon. And Sunday the 14th, we have Grudge Cast Sundays, Test and Tune as well.
Gates open at 4 p.m. Yep. Track is hot at 5. They run in the afternoon, so it won't be so dadburn hot down there.
Yeah, which this time of year ain't too bad, but it's going to get that way.
What does it mean when you throw grudge into the title?
Well, it's just the grudge match part is just two guys getting together and say, I can outrun your jump, they're going to get up there and find out.
Let's go see.
Yep.
Or make up from last race.
We got Brian Tunick. I believe that's the way we'll get his pronunciation of his name after a while. And see what he's got. He's going to bring us up to date on what's going on this Saturday at Atmore Dragway. He's working with Miss Donna Moore up there. So it'll be very enlightening once we get him on the air here. I think he's going to call in about 15 after. But in the meantime, got called in last week or so about this Jeep having two batteries.
Yes.
Well, I checked it out.
You went and did your research.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
But you know where the battery's at?
No.
Under the driver's seat.
The second battery?
Both of them.
Or both of them, yeah.
And one of them looks like a little motorcycle battery.
Uh-huh.
And you got to take that one out. Then you got to take out all of the other pieces and the hardware there so that you can slide the big battery forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take it all out.
Yeah.
So see, who designs these things?
A blind engineer.
Somebody that does not have to work on them.
I was going to say, somebody that's never worked on a car.
He was feeling around for an empty spot, and that's what he found.
Do you have to lift the seat to get to the little battery?
No. Yes.
To both of them.
Both of them. Want to go to the phone?
Yep, let's go to the phones. We got a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Oh, yes, sir. This is Brian Tunick with the Mobile Bay Racers Association.
Man, we're just burning your ears.
Yes, you were. I was listening to make sure that we would get talked about a little bit tonight.
Well, we're going to do that now.
Asked to call in to talk about what we do. So,
well, give us some background on Mobile Bay Racers Association there.
Yes, sir. The Mobile Bay Racers Association is a group of racers based around the Mobile Bay Area. So we've got racers that do come from Florida, from obviously Mobile, Baldwin County, Mississippi. There's 357 of us.
How many?
357 of us.
Well, that's a big group.
That's a hell of a big group. 357 Bay Area racers.
Yes, sir.
So, that's strong. I'm proud to know that's actually out there, Brian.
Yes, sir. So, and I'm about to drop a name that you probably know very well. But my best friend and I, Dale Herm, came up with the idea because we wanted to see more organized racing with guaranteed payouts, with low cost to racers to try to revitalize racing along the Gulf Coast. So what we do is once a month we travel. So the first event we had was March 16th at US 90 Dragway. Our second event is
April 15th. Where is that at?
Sir?
U.S. 90 Dragway.
Yes, sir. That is, you would know it as Mobile Dragway.
Oh, is that what they call it now?
Yeah, yes, sir. U.S. Okay. 90 Dragway.
Okay.
So our second event is this upcoming Saturday, if the weather holds out for us, on April 13th at Atmore Dragway.
And then
we also travel May 11th to Emerald Coast, which is Holt.
That's Florida. At Holt, yeah.
Yes, sir. And then June 22nd, we show up at Street Race in Haven at Leakesville, Mississippi. And then July 20th,
Leakesville, Mississippi has a drag strip.
Sir?
Leakesville, Mississippi has a drag strip. Which street downtown do they use?
it's actually fairly decent. Full 8 mile. I think they're getting ready to actually extend the shutdown area to make it a total of 1,500 feet of shutdown. Our group consists of 570 index, 650 index, 750 index. We have hard tire, small tire, junior dragsters, and bikes. And then if I get enough interest, we're going to be doing some import racing as well. It's a family-friendly organization. Everyone understands that this sport needs to have the kids involved. So we want families to come out and participate.
Right.
Bring your grill and your cooler. Don't overindulge, obviously, and watch the language.
Right.
But we have a lot of fun. For our first event, we had close to 70 cars that were on the. That we're actually racing in our point series. Over 300 passes were made side by side, and it was just an awesome event. Unfortunately, the weather got the best of us in terms of spectator count, so there wasn't very many people there to see it, but we're hoping that we can change that with some good weather, hopefully, this upcoming Saturday at Atmore.
Well, is this a new organization?
Yes, sir, it is. We started it back in February. A lot of the tracks around here, the bracket racing and the index racing has really fallen off. So, again, with Dale Herm, we decided to start this group, try to revitalize. So, I'm investing money out of my own pocket. So we have guaranteed payouts, 650, 570, and small tire pays $1,000.
Woo.
To win.
Yeah.
It's paid to the semis, so it's a total pot. 750, I believe, pays $750. Junior dragster, this event's going to pay $200. Bike pays $500, and small tire pays $500. So
yeah. Okay.
All guaranteed, no car minimum. And it's only $20 to get in the gate, whether you're a spectator or a racer. There's no tech card fee. Half the time, that's cheaper than you would normally pay just to test and tune at some of these tracks.
Yeah.
So we're trying to take the burden off the racer, get these guys that maybe have let their foot break, cars or index cars that have been sitting in the garage, get them excited to come back out racing with some of these guaranteed payouts and try to get things going again around here.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, it'll sound kind of like a stupid question, but without folks in the stands, there's not much points in the races taking place. And I know we probably have people who may have never actually been to a car race. And I just wanted to ask you, for the first timer or somebody that's only been once or twice, what can they expect to see?
Oh, man. I mean, you're going to see anywhere from, 400 horsepower to 2,000 horsepower cars racing heads up, which means that those lights drop at the same time. Those cars are going to leave at the same time. And other than hard tire and small tire, generally speaking, those classes are running an index. So that means they're going to get to the finish line at generally right around the same time. So it's neck and neck racing the entire pass down the track. And it's exhilarating. It's exciting. Especially, the crown jewel of our group is the small tire. We have a lot of turbo cars. We have a lot of supercharged cars and obviously nitrous cars.
So loud and rowdy would be good words to describe it.
Loud, rowdy, fire breathing, exhilarating, exciting. It's awesome. We have everything from some of the guys from the Gasser organizations involved. We have late model cars. I personally, and Dale Herm and my friend Les Blackburn, we field a car called 3AM. It's a 427 cubic inch billet crank, aluminum rod, turbocharged, 2,500 horsepower capable car.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. And as a matter of fact, our group has some of the Street Outlaws from the Street Outlaws New Orleans show. Some of those guys, with the show being canceled now, they're out working the oil field jobs again. But with their cars, they will be participating during the summer and then into the winter months. And long story short, those guys will definitely be bringing some really, really fast action and small tire. And hopefully we can grow the group and start getting some big tire cars, get pretty crazy with some of the 3,000 and 4,000 horsepower cars
right.
in our area.
So, well, that sounds like a good show, no doubt. And if anyone has watched the Street Outlaws shows, that's basically what's going on out there.
Sure.
They've got some, and you don't always have to have the fastest car to win either. So
absolutely not. As a matter of fact, our 750 class was actually won by a front-wheel drive Toyota Celica turbocharged car stick shift in a 750 index. And those guys, they're some gentlemen from Puerto Rico, they were so excited, and that's why I'm thinking about bringing out the import class, because they have not stopped talking about it, and it looks like they've got about 20 guys that are going to be coming out for Saturday. So there's a car for everybody. If you like classic muscle cars, if you like late model cars, if you like bikes, sport bikes, there's some guys that run in the bike class that run the Man Cup series. So, the drag style bikes with the slicks and the wheelie bars. I mean, there's cars for everyone. And I can't tell you enough how exciting it is to watch a show like this. So I encourage everyone to come out. Atmore is a beautiful facility. It's in a great area. There's plenty of food. After you get done at the strip, if you're of age, obviously there's the casino there. If you want to get a room and stay overnight, they've got a bowling alley, an arcade, a movie theater, everything you can think of in that Wind Creek Casino up there. It's amazing.
Yeah. Sounds like a good day at the racetrack for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yep. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. We've actually run up against one of our breaks. We're going to have to take a break here, but I do thank you for calling in and enlightening our listeners to what you got going on. I want to encourage everybody going out and
I appreciate the opportunity, sir.
Right. Oh, and do you have a website?
We are operating through Facebook right now, so if you want to check us out, just look up the Mobile Bay Racers Association. We have an events page as well as just the Facebook group where everyone congregates and we discuss the rules and involvement, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
All right,
sounds
guys.
Good.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks for calling
Bye-bye.
In. Well, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting...
Well, welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle on Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. There's a... One comment I wanted to make about the Mobile Bay Racers Association.
Yeah, yeah.
They said they got 300 and something members there. I want to congratulate them on getting 300 racers to agree on anything.
Woo!
I've tried to do it.
You know what?
It.
I want to second that motion. Hey, all in favor? Everybody's in favor of that, baby.
Right, exactly.
How in the hell do you get 357 racers?
How do you get two of them to agree to something?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
Well, you know, I think the undoubtedly the drag racers are burnt out on the things that have occurred over the last few years around, well, in drag racers in general.
Yeah.
And in ways some of the people have prepped the track and not prepped the track and let the track go to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
But then, so they just had, really, I think it's a gasp for longevity and a gasp for being able to continue to race.
Yeah, you know, and it's you know, the bracket racing thing was big for a long time, and that's, you know, for people that don't understand, you can take a car that is a $50,000 2,000 horsepower car,
right,
and your mother's, you know, Dodge Aspen.
Right.
You know, that's a, you know, grocery getter with a 600.
How do you do that, man? How do you do that? You know,
and you can race them together. Well, they may send that Aspen down the racetrack, you know, 5 seconds before they let the other one
Well,
loose.
You know, and a lot of people don't realize that they go out there and you have drag races and you make time trials. And then when you make the time trials, let's say that you've got that hot rod car and you're running a 570. And then I've got my grandmother's station wagon, and I'm running a 10-0, okay?
Right.
So you say, well, how are those two cars going to run? Well, the guy that's got that slowest time, which is that, say, a 10-0, then I'm going to get 4.30 head start.
Right. So and then, theoretically, you should end up at the finish line at
right,
the same
we time. Should, theoretically, we should get there at the same time. Now— mm-hmm. If you have the capability of running a 540 and you run a 570 and you get down at the end of the track and you run that 540, then I'm going to win.
Right.
Because you broke out.
Right. You went too fast.
You went too fast. And who the hell ever heard of going too fast at a race? You know what I mean? I admit it took me a long time to understand. You run too fast, you know?
Right.
You think the crowd is going to be able to follow all of that?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And
most of the people that go, they get a good understanding of it pretty quick. You know, and we at the racetrack, they were doing a black flag race. And it's been like almost 20 years since they run a black flag race at Mobile.
Woo!
And
I guess it has. And ran one this week?
They run some black flag races for the different classes. And
now, what is that, Kevin?
Well, it ain't the black flag race I remember.
No, okay.
I won the last black flag race that was run at Mobile, and it was almost 20 years ago. And I don't remember it being anywhere near this complicated. It took them about 30 minutes to explain it to everybody in the pit meeting. But it was a decent race. Everything went on. And it's basically, on their version was the winner from last week was the black flag car, and he started tail end, and anybody he passed was kicked out of the race.
Right.
It's Once not exactly get, the way they did it before.
Yeah.
But
it's an interesting concept.
Yeah. And, you know, the way we did it was the fastest car in qualifying started tail end.
Right.
And if you got passed by by him, the last car every lap was the one that got black flag.
Right.
So, you know, if I was the last car, I passed two or three cars in one lap. Well, the very last one is the one that got black flag.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next guy. So you had to move. You know, it was a black flag car. You had to move.
Right. Yeah, right. So, yeah.
But it was all good. It was all good. But like I say, it was. I walked away from that meeting. It was like, I don't remember it being this hard.
I don't remember it being that complicated for a country boy. Huh?
Hey, guys, if a young man should be listening and he's got the itch to be a race car driver,
mm-hmm.
how and when do they get started?
26. Four.
You get him a souped up.
You
got
to hope daddy's got a little money.
No, you got daddy's got to have money.
The motor.
Yeah. Or uncle or somebody's got to have a pocket full of money now.
Yeah,
you got to have somebody with some ability to set up and build race cars, and you got to have some money with you.
And how old before they can get on a track?
They have classes at Sunny South that you can start at 4 years old.
There you go.
JJ Day, our driver, his son.
Now, I think
just
I'd pay money
year.
To see that.
And, now they start those kids down there. Hey, they got a guy out at that Mobile racetrack. That's what is he? 12 or 13?
12 or 13. I think 12.
He's driving one of the full size trucks, but he's drove everything since he was 2.
Right. So he's been racing forever, at this point. So he's a veteran racer.
When he was walking, I think his daddy put him in an electric car or something,
So the boy should get his daddy or uncle or rich relative to go talk to somebody out the track.
The same thing is happening from right locally all the way to NASCAR.
Yeah.
And the guys that are good, you got to be a good driver.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But the guys that's got the money gets the rides.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. Well, you got to have the ride to do it.
Exactly.
Got to have the money.
We're gonna take a break. When we get back, I've got a text message question here about some seat belts.
Well, let's fix some cars.
But we'll get to that when we get back from these messages.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text at same number. And speaking of text messages, let's see. Do you know a way to unlock the front seat belts which are locked due to an accident on a Chrysler 300 Touring 2008 model? Unfortunately, once they're locked, because what you have is a pre-tensioner built into that, which is basically an explosive charge.
It's got an explosive charge in it.
Yeah. And it pulls those seat belts tight when you have an accident to keep you locked down the seat. Well, when they do that, it also locks the belt, and there's no releasing it. You got to replace the seat belt assemblies themselves, the buckle and the belt side. There's two components to this: the part that you latch it into, and then the part that you pull out that has the webbing on it. So,
but you can't unbuckle it.
You can, and it's sometimes it's a little difficult depending on how tight it pulled, but it's usually it's just a matter of pushing the button and you can get out no problem. But they're pulling it down tight where you can where they're keeping you secured in the seat.
I've got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, is that something that you have got to buy from a dealership to replace it? Or number two, can you get it out of another car of that same make and model?
You could get it out of those are not programmable.
Are they programmed into that VIN?
Yeah, they're not programmed or anything. So if the resistance value is correct, you're good to go as long as everything works well.
Last question. Will the reclamation yards or salvage yards, will they sell those components?
They will. They will, because at one time it was a little iffy on selling airbags and that, but I've seen them sell, used airbags and that. Don't know how good an idea that is, I mean, we've all known the Takata airbag.
Yeah, I don't think I want to buy a used airbag.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because it's when we're talking about airbag, you know, these seatbelt components are part of all that
system.
That whole system.
But you could buy the belts separately from that or not?
Well, you can't buy the charge separate from the seat belt or vice versa. It's all built together. Now, the bag from the dash or the wherever it may be, there's airbags everywhere in cars now, whether it be a knee bolster, a steering wheel airbag, the passenger airbag, the seat bag.
They didn't tell me. Tina didn't say whether or not the airbag went off.
Right.
It just said, that it did.
Not always.
Okay.
Because I know... You know, about this time last year, a little earlier than this in the year, I remember I hit a deer, and it deployed both seatbelt pretensioners on the front seats, but did not deploy any airbags.
Okay.
So it's sensing.
I would think
the severity of the impact,
right.
and doing it accordingly.
I would think if it had the blowed the airbags, you would have told us.
Right.
But
right.
If it did blow the airbag, then you're in trouble because you can't swap all that stuff out.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But they're going to want to total the car.
Yeah.
When that goes out.
Right. She said the airbags did deploy. You know, and unfortunately, there's really no piecing this back together.
No.
You know, you really need to do it correctly. You know, the seatbelts, you can't, even if you're just trying to get it working and functional without airbags, the seat belts themselves, you're pretty much going to have to replace because, you know, they've locked down and there's really nothing you can do with them. So, you know, you got to have it. You got to have your seat belts.
But are you saying you can't replace the airbags?
You can replace airbags, but,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, but you don't want to buy used ones.
Used ones, and because you never know what you're getting. And a lot of those airbags were under recall, so you don't know whether the recall's been done, whether it hadn't
mm-hmm.
been done.
You're in trouble there.
There's really no way for the general public to really know.
I would think that the insurance company, if it had insurance on it,
has totaled the car if the airbags. I believe she said it was a 3,000 Tour in 2008.
Right.
I would think they totaled
it. Yeah, it's an 11-year-old car. You know, if you had the pretensioners and airbags and everything go off in an accident bad enough to do that, I would think it'd be awful close to being total.
Yeah, they would total it.
But, you know, there again, there's a lot of people running around that you know, all they have is liability insurance. The car's paid for. That's all you really have to have.
I got a phone number. I'm gonna look it up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you Oki Mason's phone number
mm-hmm.
at Councilman's. And I'm going to let – you could call Oki tomorrow. And let's see if I can find this. And he can tell you whether or not they'll sell you – sell you those used components and let that be gospel. I know we wouldn't want to tell you to do that.
Right. I mean, it wouldn't be my recommendation, to put used components in an airbag system, but I have seen it done, and you know, if everything's good, you're
all right. Tina, you got your pen or pencil? 330-2700. That's Councilman, the Reclamation or our Salvage Facility. They have one here in Mobile and one in Spanish Fort. But tell them you want to speak to Mr. Oki Mason.
And what's the number again, Tom?
330-2700. And you tell Oki that you talked to Tom Claxton and Kevin Raywinkle, and you wanted to talk to him to find out what the gospel truth is now and what the law will let you do with that vehicle.
Right. Let's see. We got another text message here.
Right.
I would like to know what is the best synthetic oil out there to keep a truck that is a GM, 15-model GM model, running as long as possible with the least amount of problems, or is there a secret in – change it all every 3, 5, or 10,000 miles intervals. Yeah. But all right, well, we'll start from the top, and you know.
Go ahead, because I'm probably going to differ from you. But anyway, that's, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different synthetics out there. The oil nowadays, most all of them are very good oils. I have no problem with any of them. My main concern is how often you change it. You know, what we use is a Dexos, and what is recommended for your truck is a Dexos. I believe it's a 530 motor oil in that truck. And if you change it every 3,000 or 5,000 miles, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And if you start from day one using that, you're good. Right. You know, and what happens if you don't do that oil change interval frequent enough, if it starts getting built up on the rings and in the ring land in the piston, that's where your problem starts.
Right.
Because then that ring can't float freely. It's not going to seal up properly. And then you're going to start using oil, which just makes it build up more, which just gets worse and worse and worse. My personal opinion, I don't know why anybody changes their own oil anymore. I don't mind. I carry mine in the shop. I write a ticket on it, and I pay someone to change oil in my car. You know, even though I can pull it on my own rack at home.
Charge, what do y'all charge to change oil in that 15?
It depends on the vehicle. It's I think it's 79, I believe. And don't quote me on that, but I think it's somewhere around 79 on truck for an oil change and rotate using full synthetic oil.
And you're going to rotate the tires, too?
And you're going to rotate the tires.
And you're going to check anything else? What you going to check?
We're going to check, do a safety check on the vehicle where we're checking the cabin air filter. We're doing the belts, hoses, brakes,
tires.
How many points? I hadn't counted it lately. There's somewhere around 27, 8 points.
Okay, you're going to do mine.
Right.
Yeah, so, I'm not going to worry about it.
We're getting rid of the old oil. You know, we're using a GM filter on it.
Right.
We're using the proper oil for it. If there's ever any questions as to whether you've been taking care of your vehicle or not for a warranty repair, the records are right there.
Would y'all do a Ford?
We change oil in anything.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering.
So it's all good. You know, we change oil in all makes, models and brands and everything.
Here's my opinion. And one of the biggest problems, and you basically said it when you started talking about if it gets any ring gland problems around your rings and all, how long you can run that vehicle has to do with the type of oil and the care and maintenance that it's had to start with. If you get a problem with the vehicle and you got a check engine light on and you just keep driving it and driving it and driving it and driving it, and it has to do with a fuel problem, whereby you got a couple of cylinders that are not burning all of the fuel,
right?
Then you're damaging the motor. Okay, so then you do that for 3,000 or 4,000 miles. Well, you've got the motor in a damaged zone now. So then you start trying to take care of it. Well, it's, you know, you can do it. You can get some more mileage out of it, but it's not going to last you like it would have. And the other thing is the amount of time that you're running the oil doesn't really mean anything. The big problem about oil changes is the oil filter filtering the oil and the residue that's coming off of the byproducts of that motor. Is it going to stop that oil filter up? The oil would probably still be good at 20,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is if you stop that filter up and then you hit the bypass, then you no longer have filtered oil, and then you're contaminating the oil, and then you got a problem. Put the 100% then synthetic in it wherever you want to get it and do it every 5,000 miles, and you won't have a problem.
Right.
But if I check engine light comes on, get it fixed.
Oh, yeah. Get it checked. Get it fixed. You know, we have there's GM's recommendations. There's the dealer's recommendations, and then there's my recommendations.
Right. So, and then there's all those cowboys that are on TV that's telling you can run them 25,000 miles and 17,000 miles.
Change it when you feel like it. But, you know,
change it once you hear whether you need to or not.
GM, if you go by the Oil Life Monitor, it'll run out there as far as about 7,500 miles.
Okay.
Too far for me.
Right.
5,000 is what we recommend at UJ. You know, it's
you see that light, there's something wrong with that oil.
Right. Okay. Well, It's going to tell you it's time, you know, but right. It's really not testing the oil. So I'll give them the credit for that.
Well, how is it reading? Is it going mileage? Is it reading the speedometer?
It's giving you it uses an algorithm that takes into account the type driving, the temperature, the drive cycles you're doing.
Oh, that's too damn technical.
You know there's a lot of things that go into it, okay? But all that being said, my vehicle that I'm paying for, right, that I plan on keeping, gets its oil changed every 3,000 miles with full synthetic oil.
Okay, well, I don't have a problem with that, but yeah. I will stick with the 5.
And we got a couple more text messages, and we're going to get to after this break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Let me tell you a story about a hot rod race course. Lincoln's was setting that pace. Story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor, really souped up. Model A body makes it look real tough. Got 8 cylinders, use them all. Got overdrive, never stalls. A 4-barrel car, but dual exhaust. With 4-11 gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Now pull out of L.A. late one night.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, a long time Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And let's see, back to our seatbelt issue here. A lady said that I've heard of councilman's vehicles paid for, had only liability on it, which is fine. Driver that was declared in the wrong had a policy that was canceled.
You know what?
That brings up a whole different story.
That cranks my tractor.
Right.
You know what?
You know what else can happen? Yeah.
The only reason he had insurance, or they had insurance, was to get the damn tag.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Now, if they didn't have insurance, they should have put that sucker in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, and somehow or another, she ought to be able to file for a liability, or, you know, file for to pay it, or put, you know.
But I thought if you didn't pay your insurance or it got canceled, it also got reported up the line.
And you shouldn't be able to get another tag.
They should pull your tag.
Right. Pull your damn tag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they also, there's a bunch of different scams on doing this.
I know somebody that happened to.
But it's, you know, they've got a bunch of different scams that they do. You know, yep. They'll buy insurance and then cancel it or whatever.
Well,
but, you know, another problem you got is if you don't have coverage on yours, well, okay, say you just have liability, or you even have full coverage on yours, the other vehicle, the vehicle that's at fault may have the minimum liability insurance on theirs, and your car may be worth $40,000. Well, their minimum is like $25,000. So if it totals your vehicle out, they don't have enough to cover your vehicle. So your insurance is still going to have to pick up the tab. So you got to be careful, and you need to have uninsured motorists.
If that happens, does it go against you on your insurance?
Of course it does. Your insurance had to pay.
Well, I'm wondering if it, but you know.
And they'll turn around and they'll go after and get whatever they can get out of that insurance, and then your insurance will only have to pay the difference.
But same thing as if
they still had to write a check, so guess what?
If you got a minimum liability and you run into 4 cars, you know, you hit somebody in the rear end and it hits all 4 cars.
Right. Well, you know it's.
And you got. And I've
run across this situation, and we won't go into details, but we run across this situation recently, and they paid for the one that it would cover completely, and then the next guy in line just didn't get anything. So at that point, their insurance had to pick it up, and they'll go after the at-fault's insurance for what the balance is, or for what the balance of what's left on their policy, and then to get any more, you got to go after the driver personally.
Then you can put a personal civil claim,
right,
against the individual that was driving and or owns the car, or both.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't think they push this issue near enough. You know, I have been in an accident where I got hit by an uninsured motorist. Nothing was ever done about it. And even if they do write them the ticket for running, you know, not having insurance, is getting in an accident, you as the person that lost in this deal have to go after them and get a judgment, and you have to stay on top of it and make sure that they pay something. And you have to renew it every so many years, and you have to check and see if they ever come up with any kind of.
So it's all on you.
Right, it's all on you. I mean, it falls back on you. And it, at that point, it was like, you know, I'm not going to spend the rest of my days making sure this guy never owns anything. You know, it wasn't worth that to me. You know, so, you know, I let it drop, and I probably shouldn't have.
Well, I had one of those one time, and I filed, you know, I took him to court, and he said that he wasn't paying me. That, you know, he didn't have nothing. You know, I ain't paying you. I said, okay. So the judge says, you be sure to take it to probate court and file it in probate court.
Right.
Because someday he's going to want to buy something. It was 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to buy something and buy it on time. And could do the credit. They ran a credit check, and I had that claim on him.
Right.
In probate court. Well, he couldn't get it approved until he paid me.
Yep.
And I said, I'll bring you a check. I said, no, I'll tell you what, dude.
You're going to bring me cash.
You bring me cash, American. I said, lay them Georges out there on my.
You done been down that check.
Yeah. On my counter.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to
plus
just.
Plus my interest and plus my lawyer's fee.
Somebody I know had a deal happen where because they lost a job and their insurance lapsed and their tag got pulled, which means even though the tag was still on the car, it wasn't any good.
Mm-hmm.
And when that person went to renew their tag or reactivate it, not just the renewal fee, but there was a penalty on it too. And I want to say it was a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the amount is, but I think there is a penalty if the tag's pulled and you want to go restore it.
Right. Well, you know, and there's a reason for that.
And there
and there should be, you know, because every time you roll out on that street and you don't have insurance, you're liable to cost somebody else money because you didn't do what you were supposed to do.
And it may be money they don't have.
Exactly. But, and we got another question here, going back to our oil change interval. Question again, if I change my oil every 3,000 miles, but it may take me several months to get there, does that make a difference in the car sitting for a while before and in between changes? Kind of my rule of thumb is 3,000 miles or at least once a year. You know, if you get, I mean, I know everybody tells you 3,000 miles, 3 months. You know.
I know a lot of people don't even drive their car 3,000 miles.
Right.
So they just need to change it every year.
At least, yeah.
Even if it don't have about 2,000 miles on it.
Exactly. Yeah, let's change it. Let's change it once a year or every 3,000 miles, and everything will be good.
Right.
You know. So it's all good. It's all good. It'll keep it going. It'll keep everything lubricated right. It'll keep the moisture out of the oil and the contaminants out.
Yeah. Well, what happens is those engines they can build moisture in collection runs down in the oil, so it's diluting the oil. So it hurts it when it's sitting like that. So that's why we'd like to change it every year. But you know what tickles my fancy tonight is the fact that people are worried about the maintenance on the vehicles.
Yep.
You know, and that's what we've been hollering about for what? I've been on the air for 36 years talking about the same thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, this is probably the first show that we've had three or four people or so that want to know about oil and maintenance and all, because I think the fact that those cars are not $3,000 cars anymore.
Well, you know, when you go out there and, you know, you're looking at a brand new vehicle and the cheapest one on the lot is $25,000, and they go up substantially from there, you know, then you got to realize that, you know, maybe I need to take care of this thing. You know, you'd be surprised how many people, you know, finance a car for 6 or 7 years, you know. So, you know, you've got to stay on top of the maintenance to even get it to the point where you can get it paid for.
Protect that investment.
Yes, sir.
Protect the investment, no doubt.
Yep. And you want to have something to trade in or sell at the end of that time.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But I know we're coming up to the end of the show. I just want to mention our primary sponsor, UJ Chevrolet, my employers.
You're looking for that new ride. You need to be going after it.
Yep, need to get out there and see our sales staff up front. They will make you a deal on a new vehicle right now. They've got some great deals, and the inventory is starting to get a little thin. We got some new stuff coming in, but
good trade-in offers.
They can find what you want if we don't have it there, but we still got a good inventory in stock. But and they're making some great deals on your trade-ins, everything on top of. So
awesome people out at the fabulous UJ shop out there. They've got one of the finest techs that ever walked this earth. He's sitting here with me tonight.
And I'm on crying. Airport Boulevard.
Yes, and their location is on Airport Boulevard.
Yep, just before Schillinger's.
Right.
But they've been out there for a good while. Been in Mobile for, I don't know how many years, since 1939. Mobile's oldest GM dealer.
Oldest GM dealer.
So come out and see us. Buy a car and get your car fixed. Get your oil changed. It's the best place in town to get it done. So,
first responders and the vets. Hoorah.
His love from this old baby. I didn't understand till I was grown why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home. Instead of running around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at the world through a windshield.